Just for a few minutes, I wanted to talk out of Titus. Titus is in the New Testament. And you know, did you know the T's in the Bible are all in alphabetical order? Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians. So H-I, you get it, T-I-T-H. If you need to know where Titus is toward the back of the Bible. And all the T's are in alphabetical order, interesting enough. That's just a little Sunday school kind of thing that I usually bring up. But I just want to talk a little bit about seven different things that I believe this scripture brings out in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I'll just start reading and I'll read and I'll stop at some points that I want to make and then we'll go from there. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, say obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Now, I said, remind them to be subject to rulers. I mean, there was a lot going on back in these times. You know, Caesar, he was a bad ruler. He was burning Christians at the stake. And the Apostle Paul certainly wrote a lot of the passages of Scripture. And he said, you don't have to agree with the rulers and their philosophy or their theology. But what you do have to do is respect them and pray for them. Because whether they're good or bad, God has put authority there for a reason, whether you understand it or not. So I go, that's for a hard one, especially in politics. You say, but the Bible says pray for your authorities, and that maybe they'll get saved. Maybe the one president that's not saved that you don't particularly like with whatever theology they have or political views, maybe they'll get saved and their hearts would change. So it says here, remind them to be subject to rulers. If they say go there, you go there. Just like how many of you have gotten stopped by a policeman when you're driving down the road too fast? There's one honest person. There's two honest people. You've got like 10, I think. You got stopped by a cop just once. What do you do? You say yes, sir, no, sir. Because, you know, there's no point being rude to a policeman that's pulled you over. You're not going to get a whole lot with vinegar. Like my mom said, you get a lot more with honey than you can vinegar. Have you ever seen that? Y'all should be saying, yeah, I've heard that soon. That's right, that's right. It's a good way. Yes, sir, and I always put my hands on the steering wheel for some reason. You know, just raise that question. And it says, to malign no one. Don't be maligning people or saying, well, you know what, that ain't right, or that ain't right, or you're doing wrong, or you're doing this, or you're doing... Don't malign people. Love on people, it says. So don't malign no one. Be peaceable. Be gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Wait a minute. A-double-L is what?
All.
Oh, just the ones that are nice to you. No. Not what Jesus said. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. And you got to love God first. What is that shape like? The letter what? And it's L starts with, what's the word that starts with L? Love! Say love!
Love!
All right, y'all can work on the love thing. Okay, now it comes back to us. Let's be honest now. For we also were once foolish. Don't say you were not. Before you came to Christ, spiritually you were foolish because you were almost dying in your sin. And God has given us grace. So we were foolish at one time, it says. Disobedient. How many of you have been disobedient a couple times? Right? You were deceived. Yeah, I'm a good person. See, people in the world, they're deceived. You know why people are deceived today? Because they believe they're deceived because the devil has said to somebody, you know what? You're not a bad person. You can get to heaven by being a good person. Deception. Deception. No one, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of good works, lest anyone should boast. I do more good works than I know. So, big deal, I should be doing them anyway. But it doesn't get you to heaven. You can't go to heaven by being a good person. If you could, how good would you have to be? Enslaved to various lusts. How many of you have had a few times with that problem, lust? Oh, a bunch of angels. Nobody's had that problem. I need to go hide somewhere. I'm the only one. Maybe I'm just preaching too fast and too clever. Enslaved, this is what we used to before we were Christians, even though we fall into it sometimes. Enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's what the world wants. Gimme something good that makes me feel good. And the Christian says, I want to do God's work. And it may be tough for me to do God's work. It may be tough for me to get out of bed. It may be tough for me to prepare for my lesson. It may be tough for me to serve food in the name of Jesus. It's not a cakewalk. Jesus never said it was going to be easy, but the cookie is coming later. So we got to walk through the thorns before we get to the rose petals. That's why I like preaching verse by verse. I can never be in trouble. You can never say I haven't done it. Spending our life in malice and envy. Oh, if I just had that, if I just had this, I just had that, and I just had this, and I just had that. I just made up a song. Call my agent. Talk about that. We spend our life seeking lust and pleasures, spending our life in malice, in verse 3, and in envy. Hateful. Hating one another. I mean, you know what? I've hated people before. And you know what? Christians are not supposed to hate people no matter what they get done to them. And you know what? Somebody says, well, Jesus said, well, murdering is wrong. Commandment 7 says, do not murder. And most people go, I've kept that commandment. I have never murdered anyone. Well, Jesus brings it to a more higher spiritual level. He says to the Pharisees, if you hated someone in your mind, you are a murderer. Well, that's not very encouraging. What's the truth? He just wants everybody to understand how God looks at sin. Not how you look at sin or how I look at sin. It's how God perceives and looks at sin. Now, we're getting to the encouraging part. Hold on. But when... Now, this is... I get excited. I'm getting too excited. Because this is not the prickly pear thorny patch.
You're crazy.
No, I'm crazy.
You said that about other kinds of
dogs, so you got to call me something else. But now here are the rose petals of Scripture. This Scripture is pure gold. And it's out of Titus, way back off the Gospels. But you've done all that stuff. You've been envy. You've hated people. You've seeking pleasures. You've been enslaved to various lusts. You've been disobedient. You've done all those bad things. You can say amen. You can say hallelujah if you want to. Somebody wants to. I'll put in my group. But when I see but, I go, hallelujah. There's hope for me. But I love this. And if you read scriptures, you'll understand it too. But when the kindness, say kindness, of God, say kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared on the scene. But He appeared on the scene, God, our Savior. God came to earth as man to save us from all that sin that we just mentioned. Hallelujah. I can't get to heaven by being a good person. And you know what? It would insult God if you stood before Him and died today and said, God, you should let me into your kingdom. And God says, well, why should I let you into my heaven? Because I was a really, really good person. Hold the phone, y'all. You mean you're going to say you're better than perfection? That Jesus is perfect, was perfect in word, thought, and deed, but you are going to get to heaven by being a good person when Jesus was absolutely perfect? You think that would insult God? Of course it wouldn't insult Him. It wouldn't insult me. And it says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, God our Savior, get it? God our Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. And His love for you, I'll just make it personal, for you, He showed up on the scene. The Messiah has come. He has already come. He saved us in verse 5. Say saved. Say saved like you mean it. Saved. I'm saved. Say I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm so saved. I'm so, 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 so saved. You can't, if you can't keep up with me, that's all right. Not too many people can, so, you know, it's no big deal. He saved us. What did He save us from? Here's the thing. Here's what I hear. I hear wrong teaching on this. He saved us from our sins. S-I-N is three-letter word. S-I-N. The middle initial is what? Me. S-I-N. In Matthew, when you read Matthew, it said Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. Period. Okay. Hallelujah. But He didn't come and die a cruel, inhumane death on the cross and beat unrecognizably and was crucified like a criminal that we all deserve. He came to save us from our sins, not to make our life better. I got a little revelation. Can I give you one? Since I've been a Christian, my life has gotten tougher. Oh! Sign me up for that. That's why when you witness to people, you don't say Jesus died on the cross and did all that to make your life better or give you a bigger car or a bigger house or no health problems. I've had more health problems as a Christian than I ever did as a non-Christian. But He saved me something for far greater than kidney stones or sciatica. And I spent a few hours in the hospital agonizing over my body. But He came to save me from my sins. That's why through my trials and tribulations and all the problems I have in my life, I can still say to God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me from my sins. Thank you for giving me eternal life. One day I'm going to see you face to face, and you're going to tell me something I'm really, 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 really anxious to hear. And it's not depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. It's come on in. Come on in. I made a little place for you. Hallelujah. Perfect place that Jesus has built for me. In a perfect environment. There'll be no sickness in heaven. Oh, there'll be no walkers in heaven. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, say hallelujah like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
Okay. No walkers in heaven. Hey, right. No nurses in heaven either. Amen. Well, I like nurses, but I just don't like to wear those unflattering gowns they give you at the hospital. But it's going to be a perfect environment. You're going to walk on streets of gold. You're going to be perfect like the Lord Jesus. So just hold on. Turn to your neighbor and say, just hold on a little longer. Just hold on a little longer. So when God our Savior, His love for us appeared, He saved us from our sins, not on the basis of our good deeds. Hey man, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. Oh, I'm better than him. Oh, I'm better than Charles Manson. I've had somebody tell me that. I'm going like, well shoot man, that's not a good barometer. Who isn't? He says, well I'm better than that person. You don't compare yourself with other people. You compare yourself to the law of God. If you want to know how good or bad you are in the sight of the living God, just go through the Ten Commandments. Have you lied? Yes. Have you stolen? Yes. Have you committed adultery? Yes. Have you used God's name as a four-letter curse word to express disgust? Yes. If you said yes to all those, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Somebody said to me, I was witnessing to him, and he said, well, why would a perfect holy God, like you say, send somebody to hell? I said, well, if he didn't, he wouldn't be perfect. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, his love was demonstrated toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ, his only son, died for us. He has proven that he loves us by sending his only son. Now, his love is perfect. His wrath is also perfect. Because God doesn't do anything that's not perfect. Say amen.
Amen.
That's the way it is. But it's not his will. And in Ezekiel it said, God doesn't take pleasure in punishing the wicked. It's not God's. He doesn't sit it back going like, yep, got to send you to hell now because you didn't believe in my son. He doesn't like it. It hurts his heart. But he's got to remain true to his character. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never been born again and you're uncertain about it, talk to one of our ministry partners after the service. Get it right. Because we're one heartbeat away from either hell or heaven. And God wants everybody to go there, to heaven. Hallelujah. Man, well, hello.
Amen, Rob. Amen.
You're absolutely crazy.
Well, somebody say amen, and I won't have to be. Just don't trip over your walker when you're going out. He saved us not on the basis of our good deeds. We all good people in general, which we have done in righteousness. See, when a good person is without Christ, he, let's just say he does something good. You should be doing something good. Holding the door open for somebody or feeding someone or cutting your neighbor's yard when they can't physically. Go over there and cut it for them. Do something good. Well, you should be doing that. But that's not going to get you to heaven. And he says, not on the basis of you doing the good stuff, but on what he did in his righteousness, in his perfection, that's why you're going to heaven if you believe in him as your Savior. It's not because all the good stuff you did. We don't go to heaven by on a learning curve. Remember learning curve? Then you had to pass the test, Nancy, in school. I know they had to pass the curve for you. Susan, probably for you too. Because, you know, but heaven's not, God doesn't grade us that way. He says, you know what? Either you know him and you're going to heaven, or you don't know him and you're going to go to hell. It's the choice is yours. But, you know, I remember one time in English class, I hated English. Who said, uh-oh? You must have been an English teacher. I didn't say I hated English teachers. I said I hated English. I slept so good in English class. I slept like a baby. That's why I failed it. Summer school, for y'all, man. I think I failed summer school. But I got my GED, and I went to work, and I saved my money, and my mother made me save my money. She said, you can move into the house, but you've got to save your money, go to school or work or do both, and when it's time for you to move, you show me your bank account, and you go buy your own house. No, she was both pretty and good.
Very bright.
That's where I get all my brightness from. But I love my mother. Still do. Always have. Anyway. So we can't get to heaven by being a good person, verse by verse teaching. We're almost done. But according to his mercy. That's why we're going to heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But according to his mercy. Nothing you've done. Nothing you can do. It's his mercy. Don't you love verse by verse preaching? Because you just can't go wrong. I'm just reading it verse by verse. His mercy is this, y'all. He has given you grace if you know his son as Savior. He has withheld the punishment you deserve if you died in your own sins. He has shown you mercy. When other people are in hell right now, they're going like, I just need to go back and just get it right this time. One more chance, one more chance, one more chance. No, remember the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus, the rich man, he said, I don't want to be here. Give me one more chance. Just give me a little cold water on my tongue. No, too late then. So get it right today. But according to his mercy, say mercy. By the washing of regeneration, he washed you clean. He washed you clean. How many of you like to be clean physically? There's a couple people that just hadn't taken a bath in a while. you know, I like to be clean. You know, right? I do the best I can. Now, spiritually, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you and washes you clean. And for you to stand before God, you're going to have to be clean, not because of what you've done, it's because of what we just read, His mercy, His love, His kindness. That's it. It's a simple story, isn't it? But for me to watch anyone perish and die in their own sins hurts me greatly. Because one time I was without God, and I was on my way to hell, and God pulled me out of the pits and the muck and the mire of hell, and He set me free of my sin and the punishment of sin and the power of sin. Even though, as a Christian, I still sin sometimes. I know. I got the halo around me. Hallelujah. If anybody as a Christian says they don't sin, the Bible says they're a liar. I'm just reading the book. But according to His mercy, it says for him to say there is no sin to them, it's a liar. That's what it was in 1 John. And renewing by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, now! Jesus said, don't hang on to me. And He was going to go be ascended into heaven. And they said, don't go, Jesus, don't go. We don't want you to go. They felt comfortable. Jesus, just don't go. He says, I must go. Why? They didn't want Him to go. They were fellowshipping with Him. They saw Him die. They saw Him being resurrected. They didn't want Him to go. They said, stay, Jesus, stay. He goes, no, you don't understand. If I go, it's going to be better for you because I can send the Comforter. Now I can be at every place, every day, every second, in every person. Praise God for the Comforter. By the renewing of the Holy Spirit, two more verses and we're done. Gosh, this is a good preaching. Now here's where it gets real. I'm gonna do jumping jacks here now. Whom He poured. Say poured. Everybody knows what poured. How many of you ever over poured a cup before? Just two? You pour too much in a cup and run over?
Yeah.
Have you done it? Say amen.
Amen.
If you never done it, say, oh my. But He says He has poured. Not just give me a thimble. Not just, you know, who knows what a thimble is? How many of you do eye drops? I do eye drops with a thimble, you know, a little. That's not what it says here. That's a thimble. That's a little bitty, 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 itty, bitty, bitty piece of whatever liquid it is. It said right here, He poured out. What did He pour out? I'm reading it as fast as I can. Upon us. Say He's poured out upon us. Oh, give me, Lord. That's why I say, keep pouring, Lord. Keep pouring, Lord. I need more of You, Lord. Do you feel that way about the Lord? Do you need more of Jesus today? He poured out upon us. This is what I underline this word. Jeez. He poured out what? He poured out us richly. He didn't withhold His mercy. He didn't give us thimble full of mercy or forgiveness or kindness. He richly poured it all out. I love that about the Lord. He ain't never been stingy with me when it comes to mercy and grace. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all should be saying amen to that. If you can't, then I don't know what to do. He's never been skimpy on mercy, grace, goodness, and kindness, and love. I almost have to do that amen again, but I don't have time. Whom He poured out upon us, if we're Christian, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's how He did it. He didn't do it just because, oh, you're a good person, so we'll let you in. We'll get you into the curve. No, he poured it out. He forgave us. He showed us mercy. He forgave us of our lust and our slave to sin and our envy and our hatred to one another and each other. He has poured out to us richly his mercy through his only Son, Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, Son of God. Man, I can run. I feel like running. She says, I'm excited about life. I've read this 1,000 times. But the Bible says every time you read the Bible, it's alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts into the innermost thoughts and desires, and it will expose you for really who you are. Ouch! Lord, I don't really want to know that much about me. You know that prayer that we don't like to pray very much? Excuse me, piano. Get out of my way. You're stealing my stage. You know, the prayer that we don't want to pray that much, but we should be praying more. Search. I want y'all to say it out loud. We're almost done for the third time. Search me, O God, say it. And know my heart. Try me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me to the way everlasting. You know why we don't pray that prayer that much? Because he'll find something. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He'll find where my heart needs changing. And I have a lot of work to do. I'm not where I used to be. Promise you that. If you knew me before I was a Christian, you would be out of breath in the first minute. But God is working with me. And he is searching my heart. And sometimes he finds things in my life that need changing, for sure. And maybe you're here sitting, listening to the message all around the world. My sermons go all around the world now. And there's something in your heart that needs changing. Search me, O God. And he says, I've searched you, but this is what needs to change. Today's the day to make that revision, spiritually speaking. And maybe you're listening to my voice and you say, well, I've been to church all my life. I'm going to heaven. My daddy was a deacon. I was baptized when I was 12. Because my mother made me do it. Those things are good, but they don't get a person to the kingdom of God. So maybe you're sitting there going, I don't know if I've been born again or not. And Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Born from above. I've already been born of my mom. Get it? Of water. Got that part. But have I been born of the Spirit of God? And as I close for the fifth time, verse 7, Titus 3, verse 7, this is the last verse. I'm not going to promise. So that being justified, say justified. Somebody said, what does justified mean? Well, that's a good question. I mean, and I try to come up with good answers logically, but more importantly, biblically. But I don't say, well, you should know that. That's not what God tells us to do. Somebody asked me, what is really the word justified? When you come to know Christ, you have in God's sight been completely justified by God. Now, one more example. Say, how many of you been in a courtroom in front of a judge? You can be honest. Nobody will tell you. Oh, you, about 10 times for you. Okay, so you're in front of the judge. And the judge, being a good judge, you're right there, and you have done something bad. Okay, got it. And he's fixing to pronounce you guilty. Yeah. You did rob that bank, didn't you? Yes, sir, I did. Well, the punishment by law, I'm gonna have to give you the punishment. Somebody's gonna have to pay your punishment. It's gonna be you. So, as the power invested in me with this gavel, I'm gonna sentence you and guess what happens? Guess what happens, spiritually speaking? Somebody comes to the back door. And through the back door, spiritually speaking, is Jesus. The sinless one. God come to earth. And he says, hold it, judge.
That's a good analogy.
Stop! He's fixing to pronounce you 25 years in prison, and Jesus goes, stop! I'll pay his fine. I'll pay it in full. Jesus paid your fine in full, so you wouldn't have to pay your fine on your own. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad about that today? Aren't you glad? He stopped the gavel from going down, and he made you justified, and he was without sin, and you and I deserve hell for eternity. But God, in his infinite mercy, has given us heaven. Glory to God. Boy, if that doesn't make you want to run around, how many of you think you could run around the block and say hallelujah? I'll take that question back. But he made us justified by his grace. We've heard it before. Do we really know what it means? G. Say G.
G.
R.
A.
C.
E.
G. R. A. C. E. Oh, I think I pulled something wrong. Oh my E. Grace is unmerited favor for the infinitely ill-deserving. No one deserves God's grace, but God's grace is poured out in truckloads so much that you can't even get out. Yes. Come on, Lord. Yes, I need more grace, Lord. Thank you for grace in Christ, Lord. Thank you for saving me through grace. Thank you for showing me mercy when I deserve the opposite. Thank you for showing me the love and the kindness through your only Son, Jesus Christ. Can you tell him a Christ preacher? I'll see him one day. Hopefully he'll go, not bad. So he saved us and justified us by his grace. We would make, oh my, it's another one. I can't even get through this one. He did this so we would be heirs. Say heirs. How many of you know that somebody has inherited a bunch of money? Come on. Somebody an heir? I'm a little short right now. You might have. You're heirs to what Jesus has, the King of Glory, the Creator of all things. You have, if you're in Jesus, what God has in glory. Where's the kingdom of God now? Point at your heart. It's right there. That's where the kingdom of God is. Well, you're going to get to the kingdom of God when you die if you're a Christian, and you're going to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I have prepared a mansion for you that you cannot even comprehend. Glory to God. And then maybe I invite you over to my mansion. Come on. Look me up. Be down by the Crystal River somewhere, right? He has made you heirs in Christ according to the hope. According to the hope. And this hope means that we believe in the promises of God written in the book, in the Bible. It's not like, oh, I hope it rains tomorrow. No, that's the hope of the world. We hope in what we read is true. All these promises that God has given us today, they are true. We hope in them. We don't hope in that it's going to rain tomorrow or that I'm going to live the rest of my life without pain and suffering. I hope in the promises of God as it's written in God's Word. Hallelujah. Old school preaching. And the hope is in, last two words, eternal life. Say it. Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. Now that's where I want to be. I hope you, if you died today, you would have eternal life with Christ and that you would be completely heirs of what God has for you. We can't even imagine. Our mind is not conceived. Our heart's not can even express what God has in store for His children that believe in His Son as their Savior. And Lord, do you know Him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, another just passage of Scripture that's a jewel of Scripture. It is. Out of Titus, not even the Gospels, but it preaches the Gospel in Titus, way back in the back of the Bible. And I pray that anybody listening to my voice that doesn't know You as Savior and Lord will come to know You for the first time. And it's never too late to come to the cross and be saved. So if they've never been saved before, I pray that the message, not my personality or my energy or even, you know, what I know about the Bible. I don't want to be clever. I want to make it where everybody understands it. And I want to be real about it. And hopefully somebody listening to this message through the Word is getting saved right now. And those of us that have already been saved, maybe we have that "search me, O God, and know my heart." Maybe we have something in our heart. Maybe we have some bitterness towards somebody. Maybe we've said, you know what, they did me bad. And maybe we have something that needs to be cleaned up or confessed. Let that happen today to your believers, your sheep of your pasture. And so we love you, Father. We praise you. We ask you to conform us into the image of your Son more and more each day before we see you in glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask. And all of God's children said, Amen.